Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Got no reason for the things I fear, the things that plague me when I see and hear. Dime's a nickel and a nickel's none. I'll throw myself into the Sunday sun. I saw my Sunday when you went insane. You said you're going, but I said I came. I'm throwing oranges in an apple cart. The ties that bind are tearing me apart. Jenny says, turn off the radio. Jenny says, turn off the light. Jenny says, turn off the video. You beat yourself up.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
The contract was executed, and I'm happy that Mr. Collins is now our city manager. He's starting officially on October 2nd.
You ever hear somebody announce good news and feel like, but this is only the beginning of the horror show? only in Milton. So this is Marilyn Farrow, City Councilwoman Marilyn Farrow, announcing that, the Scott Collins contract has been executed. No problem. Well, we'll see about the no problem part. But anyway, he's hired. He signed a contract. Alex Andrade, the attorney, worked it out with him. All good. I mean, didn't have to work anything out. Just do it. As I said, though, you know, this seems like great news, right? This is cause for celebration.
But I wasn't pleased about the process.
Oh, no. But she wasn't pleased about the process. Okay. All right. So, Marilyn Farrow, who had been one of the, not the most sticky wicket, but, one of the sort of challenge areas on all this. You remember how this all went down is Alex Andrade, Scott Collins, after all the drama, said, I will only negotiate with Alex Andrade. I don't want to hear anything from city council members. I don't want to hear anything from the public. Okay? And so fine, no big deal. Because he kind of figured out who was right and who was not right in all of this. And so Alex came back to city council and said, are you guys good with this? And they're like, well, I don't know if we should let you negotiate. You should bring stuff back to us. He's like, how about just Scrivener's errors? Typos. How about that? Is it okay if I just fix typos as a lawyer, as your lawyer for the city? And they're like, okay, sure, I guess that's okay, Marilyn Farrow said. So now something has got her unhappy about the fact that we've got a ratified contract. And thus begins the episode. And scene co.
Our city attorney knows that. He knew it from the beginning that it was a disturbing process the way it happened. I made that very clear. And may the record reflect that the attorney is frowning at me.
I think I got David in the other room. He was not expecting that. He's so. In case you blinked with your ears, Marilyn Farrow, happy there's a contract, unhappy about the process. The attorney knew it was a disturbing process, and.
May the record reflect that the attorney is frowning at me.
Your Honor, I'd like the record to reflect that somebody's got an unhappy face. Somebody's got an unhappy face, and it's the attorney. That's Alex Andrade. He's not smiling at me. Can you please make sure that that's loaded in the record? Because it's not like we have a video. The video, by the way, and this is helpful. In Milton, the video always shows the city council members and the box in which the city clerk, the city attorney, and the city manager all sit. So you can actually see how frowny was that face. Okay, so now we continue. Milton never disappoints.
Please, no talking out in the audience. If you don't like what someone's saying, you can come to the podium at the appropriate time. But Councilwoman Farrow is the only one recognized to speak, and if she wants to note Mr. Andrade's facial expression, she's allowed to do that. Please proceed, ma'am.
Yes, Mayor Lindsay talking to the unruly audience. You're laughing at her, but if she wants to note his facial expression, she's okay. She's allowed to do that. Okay, and then in the next sort of area, or next segment of this meeting, it was really boring. It was just kind of the how we got from here to there. Okay, the short version is this. There was a contract that had been sent out to Scott Collins back in July, and that contract had a severance portion in it, paragraph 3. Not that it matters, but I'm just telling you it was paragraph 3. And the paragraph 3 was for a 4-month severance if they have to make relationships with him. And so what happened in the interim is Don Molinaro and Heather Lindsay, remember when they went and had the secret meeting at her house, at Mayor Lindsay's house on the Sunday, or the Monday, I guess it was Monday, actually, to try to rescue this and have contract. Well, she says not, but okay. Anyway, they interacted with Scott Collins, and then you had the, like, rescinding of the rescinding, which eventually led to the rescinding of the rescinding of the rescinding of the contract. I know, it's a lot to keep track of. But she had apparently in this process noted that one of the discrepancies was he wanted 5 weeks of severance versus 4 weeks. Okay, no big deal. So Alex and Scott get down to talking, and the contract that had been approved by the council to send to him was completely missing this paragraph. Like, it just didn't have any severance in it whatsoever, which is not appropriate, and everybody knew they were supposed to be in there. So Alex had put that paragraph back in that everybody thought was supposed to be in there, and it was 4 weeks, which was the standard before and kind of during and after, whatever. And so he executed the contract with Scott at 4 weeks severance. No problem. Well, maybe no problem, because Marilyn Farrow, she's not happy. That seems to her like a material change, not a Scrivener's error.
So I felt like that was a material change to the contract. Now, I was not disputing that Mr. Collins should be denied severance pay. My dispute was the process, that the council did not agree on that contract. And I didn't feel it was a Scrivener's error.
And yet it's the very definition of a Scrivener's error, because it's literally a provision that a whole paragraph is missing that everybody thought was in there, that Alex hadn't reviewed the contract before, you know, they voted on it, because he said he didn't review it until he was authorized to go review it and figure it out. And so everybody thought it was supposed to be in there. They restored the original terms of the contract. It's literally the very definition of a Scrivener's error, but she's not happy. Okay, so you ready? Part two? You ready for part two? Here goes.
However, I'm happy that we do have an executed contract.
Ma'am, did you want to have a formal motion to approve the contract that Mr. Andrade presented to you all, so that there's no further confusion about whether there was a Scrivener's error or not?
Well, no, Mayor. To clarify, inviting a motion would be inviting a motion on either essentially terminating Mr. Collins. Mayor.
She says that's not the case, but what else would it be? You're inviting either to ratify the contract or to not ratify the contract, which would be to basically unhire him, to fire him. So Alex is saying, we already have an executed contract. I don't know what you're voting on. You're voting on to approve the contract that he's already signed, that I've already signed, that's already executed because he's already an employee. Maybe it works out. Maybe they vote it down, in which case they terminate him. I mean, it's a weird thing to call for a vote on. And here begins scene two. Roll cameras.
If I have an opportunity to address the claims, I would very much appreciate it.
Well, you said it was a material change in your own email.
No, Mayor, I explained to the entire council that the 5-month was a material change, because the 5-month proposal was made by yourself and the city clerk without any authority from the council.
Well, let me just stop you right there.
Mayor, can he finish?
You don't know what I did, sir.
Mayor, I have the emails.
Mayor, I have your emails.
You sent a...
So he said, in case you missed it, that she negotiated out of the authority of the council, because remember, it was Alex and with the consultation of Mike Cusack that were supposed to do this negotiation. He's saying she negotiated. She had no authority to negotiate from the council. So that's what she's freaking out about, is that he's saying she violated her authority as mayor in working out this 5-week severance with Scott on the secret phone call at the secret meeting at her house. Here goes.
This is what actually happened.
What actually happened was Mr. Collins spoke to me. I don't appreciate that you lie about me. I really don't.
Well,
the point is,
Mayor, it's your email. Please don't interrupt. Mayor, can I?
Mayor, point of order.
Can I respond?
He was recognized. You don't let him finish.
You don't let anyone finish, Mayor.
I don't need to shut up.
Okay. If y'all can't get yourselves in order.
You are the worst offender of your rules. Let me finish.
If I am being lied about, I get to
really?
Stop.
Well, yes. You were lying earlier the other night, and you would let me speak.
By the way, the interjection was, shut up, Jeff. And then, you know, well, if I'm being lied about, I'm going to interrupt people. Because she does. She interrupts when she wants to, and then she scolds other people for interrupting when she doesn't want them to. It's, I hate to use the word hypocrisy, because it means that you really don't believe the things that you say you believe on a moral, ethical, or religious basis, or legal or basis, you know, like philosophical basis. And I'm not saying she's lying. I'm just saying she's wildly inconsistent with her own expressed sentiments in favor of order and the professional nature of the meetings. Okay, so just one more follow-up on this, because, you know, this is the duel of all duels right now between Heather Lindsay and Alex Andrade. She's the former attorney who was kicked to the curb before she got elected mayor as the attorney, now works as the attorney in Pensacola. He, of course, is state representative, but he's also serving as the attorney for the city of Milton. Here goes.
Mr. Andrade, I appreciate where you're coming from, but you need to understand what actually happened.
Mayor, did you send a proposal with 5 months? Did you edit the contract without...
I didn't send a proposal to him that he did not actually tell us he was interested in receiving.
So now I did send a proposal, but he asked for it. Again, negotiating terms with the guy who's trying to become the city manager when she doesn't have any authority to do this.
I was documenting...
Mayor, yes or no, did you send a proposal that was edited? Did you send a contract that was edited to Mr. Collins without the council's authority?
The answer is yes.
No, I did not.
So that email doesn't exist?
What actually happened is not what you're claiming happened.
Mayor, you negotiated with Mr. Collins without the council's authority.
If you would like to understand what happened, you can be patient and listen to me.
Oh, well, Mayor, I would like the opportunity to address the comments from Councilwoman Farrow that were directed towards me, but without being interrupted, if I have your permission.
No, sir, you don't.
Okay.
Just, oh, man. Can I tell you how it all ends? Okay, I got 15 more clips before we get there, which won't happen right now.
There's way more.
They spent like 40 minutes on this. And let me tell you, the way this began was with the announcement that we had an executed signed contract with Scott Collins, the city manager who will come on board October 2nd. You know how this ends? We have an executed signed contract with Scott Collins to come on board October 2nd. Meaning all of this was just bickering over nothing. I mean, it wasn't over nothing because it's a little bit about get the truth out about how all this process went down. You know, Mayor Lindsay, though she is adamant that she didn't negotiate with Scott Collins, in case you were listening, she just explained how the negotiation with Scott Collins went. 4 months was the severance in the original contract back in July. She asked him, what do you want? Because I don't think that any contract is completely dead and you can always keep negotiating. It's my job to do that. That's kind of one of the other clips she said elsewhere. And, you know, so she said, what do you want? Well, I want 5 months. Well, would that look like this contract that I'm going to send you 5 months? That's negotiating. And weirdly, negotiating, I think, on Scott's behalf, like just giving him whatever he asks for. Or at least saying, is this the total of what you want? And I think what she would say is, I'm just recording his requests. I'm not actually negotiating. Well, you and Dawn were in there trying to save the process, engaging in questions about the terms that are important to him in order to save the process. I'm just telling you, as an outsider and a layman, that looks an awful lot like negotiating to me. So though she's calling Alex Andrade a liar, I haven't heard him lie about anything yet. Well, also drama. 437-1620. So again, the takeaway here is, number one, Scott Collins is coming on board, if he'll still have us. Number two, if you thought that the days of our Milton was going away anytime soon, obviously not. Obviously not. And now, We are very much now in the habit of recording people's facial expressions.
May the record reflect that the attorney is frowning at me.
Yeah, there you go. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Some folks like to drive alone. Some take their best friend. While others ride with their growing families. But no matter how many passengers you have, there's a Volkswagen that fits your needs at Feedmore Imports. The 2023 Jetta Sport. The sleek, compact sedan now from $24,361. The Taos S, a sporty crossover with a competitive price of $25,681. The Tiguan S, with the third row, is larger and it's now $28,251. And the family-sized SUV that seats 7 passengers and has style and comfort for everyone to enjoy. The 2024 Atlas SE is now at feed more imports from $39,421. And the VW ID4 EV, the all-electric SUV with plenty of space and an abundance of tech features, is now from $35,332 at Feed More Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Feed More Imports, 106 New Warrington Road.
Sale price before tag, tax, title, and associated dealer fees. Discount on the ID4 EV includes $7,500 lease rebate. See dealer for details.
It's game day at Jim's house, and the spread is impressive.
Mike's already done some damage with the hot wings, and now he's dropping back and going deep for another slice of pizza.
I sure hope he brought the Pepto.
Mike knows the Pepto-Bismol provides fast, five-symptom relief from unexpected stomach upsets. He's no rookie.
The way he's throwing back those nachos, he's the GOAT.
Be ready for game day with Pepto-Bismol.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Do you struggle with occasional nerve aches in your hands or feet? Try Nervive Nerve Relief from the world's number one nerve care company. Nervive tablets contain alpha-lipoic acid to relieve nerve aches, weakness, and discomfort, plus B-complex vitamins to support healthy nerve function as you age. Live life with less nerve discomfort with Nervive Nerve Relief. Learn more at nervivehealth.com. And try Nervive Pain Relieving Cream to block nerve pain signals at the source. Use as directed.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. On at 4 right after Guy Benson. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
If you take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Watching the Twilight movies all over again suddenly. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. They did have a pretty good soundtrack.
They did. The movies were not bad. They're not as bad as I thought.
No,
they were fine.
They're captivating and engaging and, you know, interesting.
No,
and,
I was surprised. It's like, ooh, vampires that sparkle. I can't wait. But
team,
it was great.
Was it Jacob and who was the...
I was team vampire Edward.
Edward yeah. And Jacob was the werewolf guy.
I mean, I don't know, dude.
Aren't
you grown up for this? God, no, I love those movies. They were not bad. Like, you just expected them to be bad because they were, like, kids' movies, I thought.
Well, what's funny, too, is, like, Robert Pattinson, in every film he's been in ever since, is always Edward, no matter what, in my brain.
He does not stray in acting stylings, and neither does that chick.
So,
oh, my God.
Yeah. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Hey, real quick, before the headline, I just set up my GoFundMe. I want to put a boxing ring in the Milton Council Chambers.
So
I'm hoping for some support. Don't frown at me. Let the record reflect. Candy is scowling at me.
Oh, wow. Indeed.
All right.
I can confirm.
Our headline this morning.
Not because of that. I want a boxing ring, too.
President Biden's on strike today, Andrew. He's going to be joining the UAW workers in Michigan today. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says he's hoping for a win-win agreement. Union members, of course, have expanded their strike to 20 states now after no progress in negotiations.
Well, as I think I intimated yesterday, the win-win here is he's not doing any work, so...
Whoa. Guys.
I'll take it.
Hey, I'm frowning at you.
Yeah, you know, let the record reflect Candy's frowning at me now. God, we need better record keeping.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Seven candidates have qualified for the second Republican debate of the campaign tomorrow night in California, co-hosted by Fox Business.
That's one fewer than last month in Milwaukee. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum just made the cut, while former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson has yet to qualify.
Governor Burgum's joined on stage by Chris Christie, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Mike Pence, Vivek Ramaswamy, and Tim Scott. President Biden joins picketing auto workers in Michigan today. TV and movie writers union leadership boards vote today on a tentative deal to end their strike. The actors union votes to authorize a strike against the video game industry.
Should the SAG-AFTRA video game performers strike, they'll join their TV and movie counterparts who have been on strike since July. The actors union will negotiate with Activision Blizzard, Epic Games, and Electronic Arts, to name a few.
That's Fox's Eamon Dignam. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It is partly cloudy, 73 right now in Pensacola. And last night, the Pensacola Chamber celebrated local business at their 133rd annual banquet. As a part of the festivities, the Chamber installed their new board, handed out their annual awards. Winners included Small Business of the Year, Ace Unlocks, Nonprofit of the Year, Pensacola Mess Hall, Board Member of the Year, Rear Admiral Don Quinn, and Chamber Ambassador of the Year was Kirk Waters.
Well, I think it's really recognizing all the ambassadors because none of us can do it without the others. You know, a couple of things we love. We have a passion for Pensacola. We have a passion for small business. And we volunteer our time to help that be better in Pensacola. So this award is for every one of these people in red jackets. They all deserve it. I'm just lucky enough that I received it this year.
And Waters tells News Radio that the Chamber ambassadors volunteer their time as well as working regular jobs. That ceremony held last night at the UWF Conference Center. Pensacola police have been searching for a man that escaped from Gulf Breeze Police tonight. Officers have been searching around the East Hill area overnight. PPD describing that suspect as a white male wearing a tank top and shorts. They say he could be wearing one handcuff. The suspect is in his 40s, around 5'10". PPD advising folks to stay indoors and call 911 if they see anybody that matches the description of that suspect. Santa Rosa County leaders hoping to buy a little bit more land in the name of job creation. Coming up at their business meeting this Thursday, the commissioners will be voting on purchasing 13 more acres of land near the Northwest Florida Industrial Park at I-10.
Buffalo Rock, Hershey's Ice Cream, Damien's Ice Cream, Lavelle Government Services. They're all moving to that I-10 industrial park for us to continue our industrial growth in that corridor. It's important that we continue to acquire property. So this is just another asset in our toolbox, basically.
Economic Development Director Shannon Ogletree, and he says that purchase would be for about $400,000. The property would be used to attract additional companies and jobs to the county. The union that represents public school teachers dealing with a defeat in its attempt to overturn a new state law. A federal judge last week denying a request by Florida Education Association and other groups for a preliminary injunction against SB 256. That law would prevent local governments from deducting union dues from members' paychecks. The unions argue it's unconstitutional because it violates contracts that require dues to be collected that way. The judge, though, ruled that the unions have other ways that they can collect dues. This was the plaintiff's second attempt to get a preliminary injunction. 534 right now. It's News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Showers and thunderstorms might start popping up over the next couple of days. Later today, we've got a chance for rain. Same thing tomorrow. About a 50% chance today and 70% chance tomorrow. Highs are going to be running in the mid to upper 80s. If we end up with more sunshine, of course, it could be a bit hotter. Overnight lows will be down mainly in the low 70s. I'm Chief Meteorologist Alan Strom with your WEAR News weather forecast.
And right now, 73 in Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze, 69 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Shootings, beatings, those who attack. Indictments, incitement, fiction or fact. Zelensky, Putin, Ukraine fighting back. The border, the migrants, the policies we lack. Keeping you connected to Northwest Florida and the world. When you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
Quick, name two things that hiss. Did you say gas leak? If not, here are some safety tips. Look, listen, smell, and leave. Look for blowing dirt, dead plants, dry spots in moist areas, and bubbling water in creeks or ponds. Listen for a hissing sound near gas appliances or lines. Smell for a rotten egg odor. If you detect any of these signs, leave immediately and call Pensacola Energy at 850-474-5300. Snakes and cats aren't the only things that hiss. Learn more at PensacolaEnergy.com.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:37, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us on this dark Tuesday morning. I mean, it's not, like, weird that it's dark. It's supposed to be dark. I'm just saying that's what I noticed. It's dark. So good to have you with us. Yesterday, the sun is frowning at me. Let the record reflect. So yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Sheriff Bob Johnson of Santa Rosa County, as we do. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Good to have you with us. You had some words earlier this week for, earlier last week for would-be drug dealers in Santa Rosa County.
So this puts all the dopers in Santa Rosa County on notice. If you're going to sell dope in Santa Rosa County, we're going to arrest you and we're going to try to take as much stuff from you as we can.
A house or a trailer to which you guys had been called more than 70 times demolished, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a real blight on District 1, which is Galpreeze. We've been there so many times for everything from search warrants to arrest warrants to just overdoses. It was just a real den of iniquity, I guess you could say. But it's not there anymore, and the county owns the property, so they're going to donate that to a nonprofit like Habitat for Humanity or somebody that can build a house there and give it to someone in need.
And I know some people, I just know how people think. They're like, well, why didn't you turn that house into housing for somebody? But it was my understanding that not only the history, but that the interior conditions were definitely not something where you want people living there. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. The floor was rotten. There was no running water or anything like that. So it was infested with roaches and rats, and it was just something that could not be saved.
Well, you know, I appreciate you guys doing that, and obviously I know the neighbors will probably appreciate that as well, taking action to seize drug, you know, seize or destroy, you know, whatever the case may be to discourage them. I appreciate that. Kind of an unusual case, the first time in your tenure as sheriff over the last 7 years that a gun was recovered from a school at Avalon Middle. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. It doesn't happen very often over here. I think Wendell Hall, he was sheriff for 16 years before me. I think a couple were discovered during his tenure, but this is the first one for me. And I tell you what, it's pretty disturbing. So two kids ended up getting arrested, and the investigation's ongoing. But crazy. 22 revolver. One kid brought it to school, put it in another kid's backpack. And, there was no info that they were going to shoot anybody, but I think it was more of a showing off kind of thing. But I tell everybody, if you have children and you have guns, you've got to keep them out of reach of children. That's the law.
Well, the good news, such as you said, is that there doesn't seem to have been any intent for them to do harm with it. But, you know, still accidents happen and, you know, revolvers, a revolver in a backpack get jostled the wrong way and something really awful could happen. Was the gun was loaded? Do we know?
Yeah, the gun was loaded. And that's another thing. I mean, how many people a year, adults per year, shoot themselves by accident?
Yeah.
A lot. And so now you give it to a 13-year-old. I mean, that's just a recipe for disaster.
And you know, again, I know the investigation's ongoing, but I'm guessing that this was, you know, we thought this was fun or cool or we could show off and pass it around and something
exactly
along those lines.
Yeah, I'm a big guy. Look at me. Mm. So kind of thing. So, but yeah, now he's got to find someplace else to go to school.
Wow. And these and they were teenagers. I mean, middle school. So like what, 14, 15, yeah, but being charged as an adult. Is that right?
I think they were 13, and I don't know about charging as adults, but I can tell you it's a felony even
okay
as a juvenile. So,
got
so
it.
And I don't know that either of them had a prior record, so I don't know what the court system will do. All we do is, you know, just give them the facts, and they decide what they're going to do with them.
Yeah, I misspoke. No, I didn't mean charges as an adult. I meant that it was a felony. Thank you for correcting me about
yeah
that. We
yeah
also had, and this is a really sad story, but we had a death investigation after a domestic stabbing in East Milton, right?
Yeah, yeah, that was sad. We had a daughter who killed her father, and it was, I tell you what, this year is really strange for Santa Rosa County. We normally have about 4 homicides a year, and I think that was like number 9 or 10.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's just, and there's no rhyme or reason. You know, almost all of them were domestic violence related, so they're hard to prevent. I mean, you can't really prevent those as law enforcement, even though we try as best we can.
Is it your perception that, I know you can have fluke years, and when the numbers are small to
yeah
begin with, you know, anything is a big difference, right?
Sure.
So I understand how statistics and average work are there, but is it your impression that as a general situation that like the trouble environment is worse than it was before, and therefore this is kind of the byproduct of that? Or is it just, no, things are kind of what they always are, except for this weird statistical blip?
Yeah, I think it's just an anomaly. So
okay,
my last year in major crimes, I want to say it was 1999 or 98, we had 4 homicides in a week, which back then we were averaging 2 a year.
Wow.
And yeah, and then we had 4 in 1 week. So it's just, you know, you can't predict them. You really can't prevent them. It's not like, you know, shoplifting where you can, you know, be out there and be a presence where people, you know, won't shoplift. This occurs 99% of the stuff we get is indoors, and it's spur of the moment or heat of the moment,
yeah,
some crime of passion or domestic violence. So it's kind of, yeah, it is what it is.
You can't really send out the, you know, the domestic violence, you know, strike team to go to the places where people are unhappy and might get angry. I mean, it just, you know, it's no, there's no way to do that effectively. What are you looking at in this budget? Are you hiring more deputies? Are you budgeting for pay increases, jail staffing? I know you and I've talked about this many times over the years, but are you at full staffing? Kind of tell me the situation with regards to the budget.
Yeah, our budget looks good this year. And of course, we have the local option sales tax that takes care of our purchases of vehicles and things. And staffing right now, we're doing pretty good. We're doing better than we were. We still have, I want to say, about 8 openings for correction officers. And then on the road, we're just putting people through training now, and we should be, hopefully, knock wood, fully staffed on our old numbers. But we're hoping to add some positions, hopefully 4 or 5 this year. And we really need to get over the next few years. There's several things we've got to do. Number one, get obviously more deputies, but we also need a new admin complex. Our admin complex we're in now was built back in the 90s when, you know, total employees, I think we had about 230, and now we're probably a little over 500. So I've got deputies working out of closets pretty much
wow
in that admin building. So a lot of things to do, but hopefully if I get my third term and I'm currently unopposed, I can get it all done and then retire and relax.
I know you look forward to that. Very good. Well, Sheriff Bob Johnson, he's a sheriff for Santa Rosa County. Sir, as always, thanks for the time, and thanks for doing what you do to keep things orderly and safe, and for helping just, you know, keep your deputies out on the road and doing what they need to do. I appreciate it, sir.
Yep, thank y'all too, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Sheriff Johnson. 545 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, this is kind of an interesting wrinkle to all the other things that are going on. The former president of the United States, his name is Donald Trump, in case you did not know, former President Trump is now weighing in on the F-35. you know, the jet, the F-35. And he put up a note on Truth Social that kind of caught me by surprise. I think it caught a lot of people by surprise. Allow me to read to you the post. I know we have a lot of military folks listening at this time of the morning, so you will find this interesting. He says, on numerous occasions, I told the Air Force and Lockheed Martin that the F-35 fighter jet is, in effect, defective. All caps. Because? Now, what do you think the because is going to be here? What do you think the because is going to be here? Just, you know, in your own mind, fill in the blank. What do you think is the because?
They didn't have snacks. I don't know.
The F-35 fighter jet is, in effect, defective because it only has one engine.
Is that true?
That is true. Yeah, that's a single engine. You know, your F-18, your F-22, they have, you know, your F-14, your Tomcat, your Eagle, your F-15. Those all have two engines, okay? Now, I would bring this up more as after the fact. Let me read the rest of the text and then we'll discuss. Because it only has one engine. Oh, I can't believe we forgot to put a second. No, I go on. They told me that the engine is so good and reliable that it will never break down. I said that's not possible. Everything breaks down at one time or another. Just look at crooked Joe Biden. If only we had two of him. You need redundancy. You need two engines, all caps. No high-cost modern-day plane should have only one engine. Well, an F-35 fell out of the sky yesterday. Here we go again. I guess this is 3 days ago. Sorry. I thought it was yesterday. It's 3 days ago. Here we go again. I also recommended to bad maintenance Boeing, and then he goes on to talk about the 737. And then it says that those two, well, I'll read it to you. I also recommended to bad maintenance Boeing that they should not lengthen the unattractive, fat, and slow 737. He's now bullying the 737 to get a larger plane. They should go instead to an updated, fast, beautiful, and sleek 757, the Praying Mantis. It is commercial pilots' favorite plane to fly. Had they listened to me years ago, they wouldn't have had the disaster known as 737 MAX. Those two horrible tragedies, meaning the 737 MAX and the F-35, would never have... Oh, there's two horrible tragedies. Sorry, when the 737s went down. Excuse me, I misunderstood. As they say, Trump was right about everything. Thank you. As they say. Just one thought, is we do have a fairly well-known modern jet fighter. It's not a Gen 5, okay? It's a Gen 4, the F-16. The Fighting Falcon has a single engine. That's what the Thunderbirds fly, in case you don't remember. And one of the things about the F-16 is it's, you know, ridiculously fast and nimble. It works pretty well. It's had a pretty good service life. And, you know, we've been upgrading gradually. Obviously, we've been replacing all of these things. The F-14 is out of service. The F-18, the F-15 is still in service. The F-16 is still in service. Upgrading all of these to, well, at first we thought maybe the F-22 would replace the F-16. But, you know, F-35 is kind of meant to be the replacement for all of this stuff in the long run. But this assertion that it's just not conceivable that you'd want a jet with one engine. Well, first of all, the F-35 didn't fall out of the sky. The F-35 actually kept flying. And there's no evidence that I know of that it had anything to do with the fact that it is a single engine plane only. In fact, if anything, it seemed like the single engine worked okay for a while. I'm just saying what we know at this point, which is pretty limited. But if you have a single engine in a plane, you have a lot of benefits to that. One is cost. Cost is a benefit. Number two, you don't have as much weight to carry because you don't have a second engine and you don't have all the extra fuel that a second engine requires. And your body can be smaller because you're not having to build it around a second engine. If you look at the F-16, one of the things about it is very small. I mean, you go back to like the old A-4s or any of these, you know, old single engine. It's very common. Now, it is true that, you know, the Raptor and the Hornet and the, you know, I can't say the F-35 because that doesn't. But, you know, there are other militaries that build single engine planes. So he's just wrong on the facts and the analysis makes no sense. And it's a weird thing to say on a day after an F-35 doesn't seem to have gone out of the air because, but just this notion that I am the expert on jet planes because how dare you build one with one? There you go. I just thought that was interesting. Now, in comparison, because I was reading an article about this yesterday and they said, but Trump does have a history with the F-35. Here are a couple of flashback moments just for fun, okay? These are all from when he was still president.
With the Air Force warning a lot of planes, in particular the F-35 fighter jet, which is, you know, almost like an invisible fighter. I was asking the Air Force guys, I said, how good is this plane? They said, well, sir, you can't see it. I said, yeah, but in a fight, you know, a fight like I watch on the movies, the fight, they're fighting. How good is it? They say, well, it wins every time because the enemy cannot see it. Even if it's right next to it, it can't see it. I said, that helps. I don't know.
Did he think the F-35 is invisible? If you listen, it sounds like he doesn't understand radar signature versus visual, right? Like, he seems to think the F-35 is a, I don't know, like Wonder Woman's jet. Like, when you get up next to it, you can't see it. But here, okay, there were two other cases where he talked about this.
So amazing that we're ordering hundreds of millions of dollars worth of new airplanes for the Air Force, especially the F-35. Do you like the F-35?
It's a game-changing, technological, awesome airplane.
I said, how does it do it in fights? And how do they do in fights with the F-35? He said, we do very well. You can't see it. You literally, you can't see it. So it's hard to fight a plane that you can't see, right?
Sure, we like that.
But that's an expensive plane that you can't see. And as you probably heard, we cut the price very substantially. Something that other administrations would never have done, that I can tell you.
You wouldn't have been able to do it if it had two engines also. And then he was doing this event where this is important in a way. It's a minor gaffe, but I just want you to catch it when it happens. Marilyn Hewson was the CEO, or at least the representative, I think CEO, of Lockheed Martin at the time. So her name was Marilyn Hewson. She's the CEO, CEO of Lockheed Martin at the time.
We have some of our great business leaders and leaders, period, right behind me. I may ask Marilyn Lockheed, the leading woman's business executive in this country, according to many. And we buy billions and billions of dollars worth of that beautiful F-35. It's stealth. You cannot see it. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Better be correct, right?
Absolutely.
Marilyn, please say it.
So, I know he never exactly comes out and says that the plane is invisible to the eye of people in the... But that seems to be what he thinks, as opposed to, you know, sort of radar signature invisibility, which was the design for the F-35. So, on the one hand, he's praising the plane back then, out of, I guess, his belief that it cannot be seen, in part. And then now he's upset that they only ever built it with one engine, which he says was a mistake from the beginning. It seems to imply, and I thought I read one story where he actually was claiming that he would be able to get the military to build a better jet because he would know better with his superior aerodynamics and air-to-air combat tactical skill. Okay, all right, you know, sure, fine, whatever. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
It's not too late. Enroll today for fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. That's right, loan-free. PSC offers more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that works best for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for fall classes today at PensacolaState.edu. Go here, get there. Pensacola State College.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us tomorrow, 10 o'clock on the Pensacola Expert Panel, as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information.
A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
The message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Either you karate do yes, or karate do no. You karate do gesso, just like grip.
Know this, Candy? Motley Crue.
That's why.
I don't know. Every once in a while, their D cut's pretty good. 5:56 on.
They are never good, and they're the rudest. Except for Sweet Mick Mars, he was awesome. But yeah, the rest of that band can kick a rock and burn in hell.
That's not your original phrase. 5:57 here on.
It's not. They're so rude. 92.3.
But does that surprise you? I mean, I guess you know some people.
No, it does. After the fact, when they're in the '80s, yeah, I can see where they'd be. You know what I mean? But when they're fat and tubby and can't hold their notes and they're just rude to all their fans like they were at the Bay Center,
when they're performing at the 100 person venue or the bar mitzvah.
Yeah,
you know,
right. It's like, oh, you guys didn't get low ticket sales.
No offense to bar mitzvahs. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David.
The Fulton County, Georgia Superior Court judge is now taking measures to protect prospective jurors in former President Trump's racketeering case. Judge Scott McAfee ruled yesterday that jurors in the case cannot be recorded, photographed, or identified once that case goes to trial. And some changes reportedly coming for ChatGPT. It can now reportedly see, hear, and speak spoken words and process images. OpenAI said yesterday that the latest update will let users opt into voice conversations and choose one of 5 voices for the AI to respond with.
By all means, never.
By all means. That means now it can shut you down with voice.
Now it can note for the record that I'm frowning at it. No, I just, my goodness, stop.
I just hope they make one of the 5 voices Kit from Knight Rider.
Oh, yeah, no.
Wouldn't that be great?
Or like the voice of the Cylons.
Or Samuel Jackson.
Or Samuel L.
Jackson. I had a
GPS
once that talked like Beavis and Butthead. It was the best thing ever.
That's great. Yeah. Right. Or, you know, you could have Hal or, you know, Arnold. Or I mean, I'm thinking of all of the, like, terrible, horrible, scary things that you could have. Certainly Hal. Hal would be the most horrible, scary
one. I don't
know,
man. I would be very uncomfortable with Hal talking to me about anything.
Anything from your computer about everything's going to be fine. I can't answer that request for you, Andrew. My programming does not allow me to answer unethical, dangerous, or illegal behavior questions. So I'm giving myself the creeps over
Super
here.
Super uncomfortable.
4-3-7-16-20. Braun Razors. Braun Razors, deep in the archive of promotional photos that they have, has a picture of a born woman, had a double mastectomy with no top on and a beard shaving because this person has gone through some hormone therapy.
Oh.
So Braun Shavers has been kind of, you know, everybody's a part of the family. And now the calls are for a boycott on them to basically Budweiser them.
I was going to say they're the Bud Light of
They're going to Bud Light them. So we'll see.
Lisa on air, 92.3, 95.3.